This is Stephanie, and this is the Mocha Minutes Podcast. Hey guys, before we get into the episode, I just want to let you know about something that's a little new here at the Mocha Minutes Podcast. We are now participating in Buy Me a Coffee. So if you haven't heard, buymeacoffee.com is a place where you can show some support and some love monetarily to some of your favorite content creators. That includes me. So it's in the increments of either $1, $3, or $5, and you can do as many as you would like. So I just wanted to let you guys know, would love, love, love some support. So if you would go to buymeacoffee.com/mocha minutes, I would greatly appreciate it. It will also be in the show notes. Okay, here we go. Hello, welcome to the Mocha Minutes Podcast. This is Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. So this is not going to be a long episode. I feel like this is a pregame before the episode where we have a full unpackation about this. But just wanted to, I don't want to say rant. Rant's maybe not the word that I want to use, but I have a few thoughts about the reaction to the interview that happened on Club Shay Shay with Amanda Seales. Now, it's going to sound very weird that I say this. I find myself as someone who has issue with some of the things, quite a few, of that Amanda Seales may say, the stances she may take, or the way that she says things, or just how she communicates. Because sometimes when you're extremely smart, you're not able to communicate effectively. And sometimes Amanda does not. Sometimes it can be, I've heard people call her difficult or tiresome or infuriating. I can say all of that and still say that does not mean that she don't belong in some of these rooms. It doesn't mean that she should be shunned or blackballed in some way, only because people who carry penises in their pants seem to be more infuriating, difficult, or tiresome than her, and their invites are never lost in the mail. I don't have to agree with Amanda's take on many things, because she still should be afforded the opportunity to be in these rooms. I'm giving that disclaimer right here before I say what the heck I'm about to say. Right? Because one, in this instance, two things can be true. She is tiresome, but she deserves to be in the room. If people have been letting Charlamagne, Candace Owens, Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Uncle Luke, Killer Mike, Manuel Acho, Stephen A. Smith, Benjamin Carson, Dr. Benjamin Carson, DJ Envy, Boosie, Michael Jai White, Ice Cube, and I mentioned Candace Owens because her resurgence is hilarious to me. If you're allowing all these people, you're not shunning these people. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me add one more person. Kanye West, Chris Rock. If you are, let's see, Terry Crews, the comedian Godfrey, if you are allowing all these people to still be in the room and their invitations to black spaces are not lost in the mail, there's no reason Amanda can't be there. I'm saying all that before I say what I'm about to say. Okay? Disclaimer.
I disagree with her stance on this, or I disagree with how she just handled this situation. However, comma, I wouldn't say keep her out of the room. Her interview with Club Shay Shay, and I don't, maybe, you know what? Shannon needs to start giving these people time limits. You need to start telling them, like, look, we got a good 90 minutes up in here, and that's all we gonna do, right? Just start saying that, because I feel like, because I have been watching Club Shay Shay for a little while, and it's always been like, you know, it's kind of been like not hard hitting interviews. It's always been very light and just kind of cool. Has there been like good stuff that come out of these interviews? Of course. Have there been sign butts? But then all of a sudden Cat Williams comes in there, because one, and I think it was fire and electric, because Cat Williams don't do interviews. He don't. He barely does press for his own stuff. And he actually said the reason why. He's like, I pay for it myself, so I don't need to promote anything. And one, he fills up the room, but he also spends his own money on his market. He doesn't need to like do promotion, because he funds his stuff himself. And so we should all sit with the Cat Williams has enough money to fund his own tour. One, because he's a very good stand-up comedian. So I think Cat shifted some things for many people who didn't even realize the Club Shay Shay was a thing. Because right before Cat Williams was Kirk Franklin's interview, and I loved it. But also, we've had T.I., we've had Steve Harvey, we had Candy. Candy was the first woman to be on Club Shay Shay. So we've had other interviews, and people have brought stuff up. I found Kirk Franklin's interview probably one of the better ones, because I just kind of like Kirk Franklin. It might be the churchy girl part of me, the church girl part of me that likes Kirk Franklin, but I seem to remember a lot of people used to, when it came to church folks, Kirk Franklin was too secular. So when Kanye did his Sunday service and people were like, oh my God, this is amazing, including some churchy folks that I remember saying or leaning towards Kirk Franklin's too secular, I thought it was hilarious. I was like, wait a minute, y'all, Kirk Franklin was like a word. To a certain extent, my people might say Hezekiah Walker as well. I wouldn't. Kirk Franklin really walked down those hallways of being too secular. Like, if we had gospel rap artists, people didn't, they thought they were a little bit too worldly. So there's that. But that's not, it's not about Kirk Franklin. So I knew, like, this is fun. I think people didn't expect Cat, like, one, Cat's interview was long, because usually Club Shay Shay is not that long. Maybe at most, maybe 90 minutes up until that point. Cat's was long, Monique's was longer, and here comes Amanda Seales. Hers is clocking in at 3 hours. I'm trying to think. I think Monique and Cat, like, they... All right, hold on. So the thing about it is that if I'm looking at this, I just want to look to see, because I think it might have the amount of minutes for the different episodes. So Amanda's episode was 3 hours and 10 minutes. Godfrey's, this is so crazy. Godfrey's episode was 2 hours and 31 minutes. I can't believe, I didn't realize this. Cam Newton's interview was 2 hours and 52 minutes. Little Rel's was 2 hours and 19. Okay, I just wanted to see. All right, let me keep going for full episodes. I just want to look at the list, because I know I'm not going crazy. Cats was kind of long. Okay, here we go. Had to find it. Cat Williams, 2 hours and 46 minutes. Monique, 2 hours and 55 minutes. I didn't know this was going on about this young man. Cam Newton's was 2 hours and 52 minutes. I did not even realize that, but I didn't really watch it because I'm not doing this with Dark Winding Duck. Okay? But I think Cam is very interesting. He's still a whole football player, so I don't know why people like wanted to test this gangster. Little Rel's was 2 hours and 19 minutes. Like, the thing about it is, like, with Club Shay Shay, before Cat, most of them was at least 90 minutes. some of them kind of went over. So if I'm looking at all the list of the ones that went over 90 minutes, that would be John Sally. Oh, God, I'm looking at this. That's a little bit over. Deion Sanders is 1 hour and 34 minutes. I don't count that. It's like, that's a little, I'm not doing this today. Let's see. Chad Ochocinco, his was 1 hour and 42 minutes. This is like, and I think the chemistry that was on their episode, because the episode was a year ago, that's probably why they're doing, what is it called? It's a nightcap, that's what it's called. Couldn't think of it. It's like, that's probably why, because they had good chemistry. Steve Harvey's was 2 hours, but it's like, okay. It's like, Steve Harvey was one of the longer ones. Dwayne Wade was one of the longer ones. Stephen A. Smith was one of the longer ones. Brittany Renner was one of the longer ones. Marshawn Lynch, that was also a very good one. Tommy Davidson's was very good. So these are the, like, longer ones. But for the most part, they're not, people are, I'm sorry, and Francis Nagano, and I apologize if I'm completely screwing up his name. His was 2 hours and 4 minutes. Kirk Franklin's is 2 hours and 6 minutes. So up until that point, the longest interview was Cat Williams, because his was almost 3 hours. I'm like, that's crazy. Then Monique was more. And so right now, Amanda Seales is holding as the longest interview with 3 hours and 10 minutes. So that's a lot of information, lots going on. So let me just say this. Within the first 5 minutes of that interview, her interview, I'm completely serious with y'all. Around minute 3 minutes and 38 seconds in, she has said that she has been recently diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. I'm saying 3 minutes, like, including the intro, that like low, like, cold open, including the cold open, the intro to regular to the show, him reading off her long list of accolades. And let me just say this. This is the other thing. I'm not going to sit here and say Amanda is not talented, because she is. You can't be a Renaissance woman and be in all these different places if you are not talented. She can, because I do think she can sing. I think she is funny. I think she is good at having conversations. I think all of these things. Every single one of them. Okay? She's talented, so I would never say she's not. So he read off a lot of stuff, and then he said, how are you doing? And she said, oh, this last month has been a revelation. Now, Shannon Sharpe is a former athlete. He has 3 Super Bowl rings. He has established himself as somewhat of a safer place to have an interview, or he says he's a conversationalist. But I think I don't think he realizes his brand of conversation can lean towards interview, because if y'all were just sitting around talking, I don't think you would just do keep asking all these questions. It's like, the conversation tends to look more like an interview. Sorry. So there's that. Sorry. All right. Let me do one thing, and I am, that's funny. Sorry, I need to adjust one thing while I'm doing that. So, his conversation tends to lean towards interview. That is how it comes off to someone who right now is sitting here with a mic in front of her. He is not a journalist. He is not a podcaster. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people going, "Oh, it's like, well, he's not. He said so himself. He said, I don't do this, right? He said, I am, I'm just having a conversation with people. Flat out. That is literally what he said. I don't make the rules, okay? I'm only saying what he said, right? So if you're telling me, the thing about it is, because we knew what happened with Amanda within the last month, I think he thought she was just going to talk about, like, what's been going on, like, you feeling shunned, because I'm not going to say that she's not being shunned. Her feeling like she's being shunned because she wasn't invited to something, right? Even as a podcaster, but not an investigative journalist. I would have thought that's what she would have said. Oh no, homegirl like launched into, I was recently diagnosed. That is what she said. And I'm going to go back, and we're doing a full unpacking. But I'm going to go back and listen, because apparently he then maybe, and it must not have happened in the first 15 minutes, and if it did, I'm going to listen to it again, where he said clinically diagnosed. I'm sorry, Shannon asked the question, because when she said, I have been recently, the reason why he asked about diagnosis is because she is the one who introduced the term. She said that she was recently diagnosed with having autism spectrum disorder. So when you see the clip about him saying about diagnosis, that's the reason why, because she's the one who said it. And the reason why he asked is like, wait, what is autism spectrum disorder? So that previous name of that used to be Asperger's or Asperger's syndrome. So the thing about it is, she introduced the topic of autism. So then she started talking more about, you know, people saying that I am difficult, or it's like basically the negative things that people have been saying to her. I'm going to get her. Sorry. It now, she said autistic syndrome disorder. She also brought up the term neurodivergent, still in the same realm. She then brought up, because he asked, is like, why, okay, because of diagnosis, like, what made you, like, go through this, and what made you think something was wrong? Now, here's the thing. It's sloppy language, the way that Shannon presented this. There's nothing wrong with being on the spectrum. Whether you have autism spectrum disorder, you are diagnosed autistic, or at any level of any of these. There's nothing wrong with you. You just think differently. Your brain operates differently. Not wrong. So the words do mean things. And so it's kind of like you're saying wrong. I'm like, wrong? That's going to hit a lot of people, right? What would have probably been a better way to frame this is to say, what prompted you to start the process to look at your behavior? When it comes to formulaic testing, they don't do this for adults, which is why there is no formal test for autism spectrum disorder for adults. Is it for children? Yeah. Because a lot of times when you think about children and how they are diagnosed early, it is based on your child meeting certain milestones. But for as a full-fledged adult, what they're looking for, you may not see. Right? So there's that. Yeah, every time I think about it, I'm like, OMG. Because a part of me is just like, I don't even know what to say. I really don't. Because I don't know if anybody has noticed this, but it really bothered me, right? It just really bothered me to see someone be very irresponsible. I think that's the word I want to use, is irresponsible. I don't even know how else for me in my brain to process this, right? So when it comes to, and we're only talking about the aftermath now, she said it's when the first 15 minutes we're talking about, she said that she is autistic. She said she's neurodivergent. She started with autism spectrum disorder. And here's the thing. I could say all this, and she could actually have it. But I think what gives people pause is the reason why she's saying this. She's like, I'm doing this because people are saying that I'm difficult and I'm duplicitous. That's not me. I'm like, you being an asshole is not correlation to you being on some sort of spectrum. And I think that's the rub. It's like, there are plenty of people who are complete assholes. And they are not on the spectrum here. When she talked about, you know, being very cognizant of how people look at you and having a certain feeling and like, and not wanting people, and that's for people that are autistic. And I'm like, ma'am, you cannot sit here and just open your mouth as a non-clinician talking about maybe some part of a clinical diagnosis that children may get about autism. Because I'm like, girl, there are people who are very, very self-conscious. They have low self-esteem, or they're very cognizant of how they want to be seen as other people who are not on the spectrum. So how dare you try to actually make it seem like, oh, I'm like, oh, I must be like this because I am part of the spectrum. That is how that is coming off, right? Which is, which could it lean towards autism spectrum disorder? Yep, it could. That's the thing. It could. But because you do not have a formal diagnosis, we don't know that. So then, I guess, Miss Seals went live and said that I don't have a clinical diagnosis. Oh, and you don't need one for ASD. And I said, huh. So here's the deal. And I'm going to type because I want to bring this up, because guess what? You know what means things? Words. You know what helps make your words stick or make your words have meaning? Research. Now, when it comes to being diagnosed from the spectrum, a lot of time it starts really early in children. That's where diagnosis comes from. Now, there is now a phenomenon. It's not a phenomenon, but now, which is, honestly, it will help a lot of adults, honestly, that many people are getting diagnosed very late with not only autism, any part of the spectrum, but also different mental health issues. On Real Housewives of Potomac, Gordon just came out and said he was just recently diagnosed. Gordon Thornton is in his 70s and he's just getting diagnosed. Now, she was absolutely correct saying that, you know, I'm just getting diagnosed because I am black. So the thing about it is, in children, now, let's see. Amanda Seals and I are around the same age. So she was born in the 80s. And if you think there were teachers breaking down doors to have their children children evaluated, especially little black children in their classes evaluated, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Maybe I should change that because of everything going on with the Key Bridge. I'm sorry. I have a park in New York to sell you. I'm going to say that. So in the 80s, yeah, no. Our children, our black children, if there was some kind of like issue going on, we were just labeled bad, disruptive to classes, talkative, and just put in quote unquote these special classes, or just held back for no apparent reason, or just sent to the principal's office. We were just bad children. People weren't breaking down doors to diagnose autism within black children. She is absolutely correct about that. I'm sorry. This is the other thing I wanted to say about Amanda Seals. When Amanda is correct about something, she is all the way correct about something. It's actually like, nope. She's right about that. So when she talked about, like, when it comes to diagnosing children, especially for mental health issues or for being on the spectrum, they're not going after our children, or they're not going out of their way to help our children. Because actually getting a diagnosis and then putting the building blocks in place to assist our children do better, getting it early actually does help, right? So there's that. She was actually right about that. So when you think about, when she said, I didn't say I was clinically diagnosed. Here's the rub. You did not say that. I think, now I'm getting three different things. This is a long interview and it's a lot of information. So on one hand, people were like, when they put up the clips, it was like on the Shade Room, Neighborhood Talk, Baller Alert. Baller Alert, and by the way, is shady as I don't know what. And they are my brand of petty, right? I'll get to that in a minute. First 5 minutes, she said she was diagnosed. He then followed up, said, when were you diagnosed? And she said, what is today? And I was like, so the thing about it is, I guess that should have been a red flag to us when she said, what is today? Girl, when did you, it's like, huh. That must mean this is not a formal diagnosis, and that should have been a red flag when she said, what is today? When you get a formal diagnosis about something serious, like if you know, unfortunately, people who have been diagnosed with the big C, you don't think they know the day, the age, the time frame. Okay, let me shut up. Let me stop, because I feel like Ronnie, I don't want to get upset. I don't get my pressure up. I feel like Ronnie the voice. I don't get my pressure up. See, I'm a good man. Now, she didn't say that I started looking at, you know, it's kind of like, she did not say, well, I didn't get a, I'm saying diagnosed, but I didn't get a formal diagnosis. Again, words, both of these people on these couches, neither one of them have the bandwidth to talk about this conversation. So Amanda can talk about her feelings, but diagnosis for people on the spectrum, or being diagnosed to get diagnosed on the spectrum, being autistic, neurodivergent, that is the part I'm talking about. Neither one of them have the bandwidth for. Her talking about her feelings with her, and like what happened to her in certain situations, she's absolutely has the bandwidth to talk about that. Then it becomes, I saw someone say on one of these pages that you self-diagnosing yourself with autism spectrum disorder is a thing. And I'm sitting here like, boy, it's like, I can't do this. Because the thing about it is, at any point of Amanda introducing ASD into this conversation, because she could have actually said that I haven't gotten a official or formal or clinical diagnosis. You know who that was on? The person who presented it. I think I said this to someone. If you are on a boat and you decide to, you are in one of the lower galleys or longer rooms, you decide to open the window and the water comes in and sinks the boat. It's not the boat's fault. It's not the water's fault. It's you. You just opened the, you opened the window. That's how the water got in. So the backlash is happening because of what you said or what you introduced. Because one, the reason why he probably didn't, like, and I know, does he have fact checkers? Not especially. He probably just got like two different social media people, but that's neither here nor there. But even like at a cursory glance, you were not going to find anything about Amanda Seals and the spectrum before this interview. You will now. Because here's the deal. There is no formal test for autism for adults. There's no, I'm sorry, autism spectrum disorder. Let me say that. Can you self-diagnose yourself? Yes. However, comma, when it comes to a diagnosis, it really should come from a medical professional. and to say you don't need a medical professional to diagnose autism spectrum disorder, because I saw that when someone said it, I was like, no, you kind of do. Will it be clinical? Kind of not really, because there's no real test for it. There's no blood test. And can lead more towards like a blood test, certain physical symptoms, something like that. It's kind of like, do you need a medical diagnosis? It'd be nice if you do have one, because you can put yourself in that. So let me just get you some information from the CDC about autism spectrum disorder. This is about screening and diagnosis for it. Diagnosing autism spectrum disorder can be difficult because there is no medical test, like a blood test, to diagnose the disorder. Doctors look at the child's developmental history and behavior to make a diagnosis. That's the other thing about being on the spectrum. They look at developmental milestones. That's why it's in children. For adults, it's like, that's why it's so hard. But also, if your child goes through their whole development and they either don't get it, they either are undiagnosed or misdiagnosed, because that's another thing that happens, is that some people go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed. I think Kanye West brought this up, that he was misdiagnosed with something that he doesn't have. It's kind of like one of his disorders is not the disorder he was given diagnosis for before. I think that's what it was. I said this was not going to be long, but I'm still talking. So ASD can sometimes be detected at 18 months of age or younger. By age 2, a diagnosis by an experienced professional can be considered reliable. However, many children do not receive a final diagnosis until much older. Some people are not diagnosed until they are adolescents or adults. But again, notice this said diagnosed. You see the word. This delay means that people with ASD might not get the early help they need. So let's talk about ASD in teenagers and adults. CDC's most recent funding cycle for the Autism and Developmental Disabilities Monitoring Network includes support for 5 sites to follow up on 16-year-olds who have been identified with ASD by 8 years of age. That's the thing. There still has to be some kind of, is it somewhere? Can we see it? It's like, can we see it? Okay. So let me take one step back. A greater number of children identified with ASD has led to a growing interest in the transition to adolescence and adulthood. For most young people, including those with ASD, adolescence and young adulthood are filled with new challenges, responsibilities, and opportunities. However, research suggests fewer young people with ASD have the same opportunities as their peers without ASD. So this is what they're saying. High rates of unemployment or underemployment, low participation in education beyond high school. Majority continue to live with their families or relatives. Limited opportunity for community or social activities. Nearly 40% spend little to no time with friends. You know what's really funny about those 4 things I just said? This does not relate to Amanda Seales. As much as people say, like, girl, why is she here? She's talented. So she was in Flowetry. She has hosted different shows. She was a DJ. She had her own radio show. She had a podcast. She is an actress. She is a poet. She is a comedian. Girl, what? She has an advanced degree. I think she has a master's degree. She does not live with her parents. And it does not sound like she has any limited opportunity for social activities. In addition, individuals with ASD may experience changes in their ASD symptoms, behaviors, and co-occurring health conditions during adolescence and young adulthood. These changes can affect their ability to function and participate in the community. Again, This does not sound like her. Signs and symptoms of autism spectrum disorder. And again, I say I'm getting this from the CDC. So, let's give a definition. Autism spectrum disorder is a developmental disability caused by difference in the brain. People with ASD often have problems with social communication and interaction and restricted or repetitive behaviors or interests. People with ASD may also have different ways of learning, moving, or paying attention. It is important to note that these people without ASD might also have some of these. It is important to note that some people without ASD may also have some of these symptoms, but for people with ASD, these characteristics can make life very challenging. Social communication and interactive skills. Examples of social communication and social interaction characteristics related to ASD can include avoids or does not keep eye contact, does not respond to name by 9 months of age, does not show facial expressions like happy, sad, angry, and surprised by 9 months of age. Okay, I'm going to stop. This is about children. Again, these are signs in children. People with ASD, okay, restrictive or repetitive behaviors or interests. Lines up toys or other objects that get upset when order is changed. Now, this part, because she was talking about she likes to line stuff up. Yeah, could that lean towards ASD? It could. That's the thing. It's kind of like, I'm not saying this to say that she doesn't have it. Because I don't think she doesn't. I'm going to say this. I don't think Amanda doesn't not have autism spectrum disorder. She could. I think what is the bothersome part of it is the way that she brought this up in the conversation about it. There are a lot of, I know some really good people who are neurodivergent. I have a neurodivergent person in my family. And the way that she talked about autism and neurodivergence and ASD, I was offended completely. I was like, this is so irresponsible. Because she also brought up the term stimming. And so stimming looks so different for everybody who's on the spectrum. But she brought up stimming. So for people who don't, that who are like, what the heck is stimming? Stimming is another word. Stimming or self-stimulatory behavior is repetitive body movements or noises. Stimming might include hanging hand to finger movements, for example, finger flicking or hand flapping, body movements, for example, rocking back and forth while sitting or standing. So that's where she got that from. She's like, oh, am I stimming? I'm like, again, it's somewhat irresponsible if you don't. Okay, let me just. Posturing, for example, holding hands or fingers out at an angle or arching the back while sitting. Visual stimulation, for example, looking at someone sideways, watching an object spin or fluttering fingers near the eyes. Repetitive behavior, for example, opening, closing doors or flicking switches. Chewing or mouthing objects, listening to the same song or noise over and over. Now, all the things that I just talked about, stimming, this happens in children. This can actually happen in older children and adults. Now, I can look at this list. And so when she said, oh, maybe I'm stimming because, you know, sometimes in public, I rock back and forth. If I'm looking at this list, I'm like, that's valid. And she can say that. I think what bothered me was the lazy or clumsy way she talked about it. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's my issue. Maybe it's just like I have an issue with the way that she's saying these things. That could be it. Now, what's becoming funny is that everybody was bringing this up about this interview. First, it was the clumsy way that Shannon handled the conversation about Amanda talking about what happened to her in school. It was the way that Shannon questioned her about the situation, because the thing about it is, Shannon, you're wondering if she would have done that if that was a little white child. Shannon, the question I would ask you, would you have done the same thing if that was that a black man sitting across from you? Or would you have listened to him and said, man, that's kind of fucked up? So just like you can say, I'm like, could it not be a race thing? I'm like, really? Would you have given that? Would you have given the space and not? Would you have said that to if that was a black man sitting across from you and asked and told you that story? I think you would have listened. Let me shut up because I say. Actually, no, I'm not going to shut up. But I'm like, let me just put a like, let me button that because that's totally different. So she had clarified that she is not been clinically diagnosed for autism. And then she said I'm like, I don't have $10,000. And so when it comes to this kind of testing, it could be a lot of money to do it. If it's not like maybe medical necessity, I don't know how her health insurance is set up. It could be very, very pricey to do this kind of testing. It's pricey for children, but in children, depending on the parent's insurance can eat up some of that cost, but still pricey. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. So this is very, very funny because they put, like, she clarified that she was not clinically diagnosed. So I'm going to read the caption from Baller Alert. Amanda Seale's viral Club Shay Shay interview has had the internet talking since it aired Wednesday. Yeah, it really did. During the sit down, the former Insecure star talked about aspects of her life and career, from her early days as a child actor to her current experiences in Hollywood. She also discussed her experiences in the entertainment industry and addressed issues with ex-Insecure castmates Issa Rae and Sarunas Jackson. Another revelation Seale's made was that she was diagnosed with autism. I was recently diagnosed as someone who has autism spectrum disorder, which is very difficult to identify in black women because of racism. Sidebar. That's not totally the reason. So it's also difficult to do because she is 40 years old. The testing for being on a spectrum is really geared towards children. So it's two different things. It is her age, and also these kind of testing is not revealed to black people. Like, we're not told about this testing. So that's where that is. Okay. What it typically means is that your brain functions in a different way. So you're neurodivergent and you also have certain tendencies that are considered outside of the neurotypical way of things. However, in a subsequent Instagram live session, Seale clarified her earlier comments regarding her autism status. Responding to a viewer question, she stated, "No, I have not been clinically diagnosed by a doctor." She said while responding to a viewer's inquiry, "Because I'm not paying $10,000 to do that, and most people will tell you that at this age, you don't need a clinical diagnosis in this sense." So it's two things happening at the same time. Do you need a clinical diagnosis? No, because there has to be some sort of testing, blood test, something like that. And it really is just kind of like screenings and observations, really. So it's not that you don't need it. It's just that it may not be one for you. And also, the screenings and observations are really geared towards children. You're 40. So there's that. Seale further commented on the broader implications of her self-diagnosis. Now she's saying self. That's not how she presented it. And that's the thing. You can't present things one way. And then when people go by how you presented it, you're like, well, this is what I meant. But that's not what it's like. Yeah, this is what you meant, but this is what you said. Okay. Seale further commented on the broader implications of her self-diagnosis, noting how in the U.S. there's a tendency to only consider something in one kind of way, promising to elaborate more on what she meant by her initial statement. Okay. So the thing about it is a broader conversation. It really is. It really is a broader conversation. She's not wrong here. It is a broader conversation. It just is. It's a broader conversation. And it's a good conversation to have. I think there was an NBA player who said like in his 30s, he was diagnosed with autism. And I don't think it was autism spectrum disorder. I think he was diagnosed as being autistic at his age in his 30s. And on one hand, he said, I'm glad that it happened at this age and that I wasn't tested when I was a child. Because, and for him, he said it was good because he said, if I was diagnosed as a child, would I be in the NBA? And the sad part about it is, it shouldn't be an evil or. What is wrong with an autistic person being professional sports? An autistic man or woman being in being in professional sports. Like, the fact that it would be either or, I'm like, that's a different conversation, honestly. So then a follow-up to Baller Alert is, apparently Amanda said that Baller Alert was being irresponsible. And so their picture, when I tell you, I am about to scream, because it was funny the way it's written. It's like, Amanda Seals slams Baller Alert for reporting what she said out of her mouth. I'm going to tell you something. That made me laugh, because if you're dealing with like a blog page, they are going to be petty. It was funny. I'm so glad that Zell sent this to me. I think it was Zell or Taria. So the fact that I'm sorry. As soon as I opened it, I screamed. I was like, not you slam us for saying what you said out of your own mouth. So the thing about it is that this is the problem. The way, and again, I'm going to keep comparing it to you opening a window on a boat and the boat sinks and you're blaming the water. Ma'am, you opened the window. The water wouldn't have got in the boat if you hadn't opened the window. If you did not present this, and mind you, when I say it's in the first 5 minutes of this episode, that is 3 hours and 10 minutes, I'm not kidding. You brought this up. He didn't say like, oh, I heard, I'm like, the thing about it is, I can say all that, and I still maintain that, but the fact that she's bringing up a conversation about how Black women and men can go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed for literally their whole life and miss out in getting the help that they may need. That is a bigger conversation that should be held by somebody with more bandwidth than Amanda Seals. Can they bring her to a panel? Absolutely. You can talk about self-diagnosis. You can talk about that. So, I see people saying, so there was a conversation about self-diagnosis. Can you self-diagnose yourself with autism spectrum disorder? Maybe. Could it be valid? Yes. Here's the thing. I said earlier that Shannon could have worded what he said when he said, you know, something was wrong with you differently. What Amanda could have said, and as smart as she is, she could have said, in the last month, I have been examining my life and thinking about things, and I'm starting the process of evaluating if I may have autism spectrum disorder. What I just said, doesn't that sound a lot? Does it sound like I just diagnosed myself with having it? Or did I say I'm going to explore this avenue? Because essentially, if you're saying that you don't have $10,000, you are exploring it. You are exploring the avenue that you may want to start this journey. Saying that you're like, I'm starting the journey, I want to explore if maybe there's something that I need to change. If because I'm like, I don't think if you are neurodivergent, there's nothing wrong with you. If you have autism spectrum disorder, there's nothing wrong with you. If you have autism, there's nothing wrong with you. I'm going to keep saying that. If you are looking at your life and you want to explore the avenues, like, does my brain actually work differently? Explore the avenue to think like, because there's not a clinical diagnosis. It's not going to be. Could it be a medical diagnosis? Yes. Can you self-diagnose? I think it's funny that people are like, oh no, it's valid, it's valid. Is it valid? Yes. Here's the other thing. How many times have you heard people make jokes about people diagnosing themselves via WebMD? If people think that it is funny to diagnose yourself with a heart condition or cancer via WebMD, then you should understand that self-diagnosis is dangerous because a lot of things could have the same symptoms. I think if Amanda had said that she's exploring the avenue to look at, to evaluate if maybe I could lean towards it. Like, the thing about it is, just say that you're working towards, like, figuring out what's, you know, do I need to change something? Do I need additional help? Is there something, does my brain just operate differently than everybody else? That is not the same thing. Now it becomes baller alert, y'all irresponsible for reporting this. Report, they literally put up your video. See, that's how you get, this is the thing. This is how you get people full circle fucked up. Because it wasn't that they reported something that you didn't say. They literally screen grabbed and reported exactly what you said. And the thing about it is, as eloquent as Amanda can be, as smart as she is, it's irresponsible the way that she brought this conversation up. And it just is. And I think in the next week or so, gonna have to unpack the whole interview. However, that requires me to, I've made it 2 hours because, yeah, and I heard the Issa Rae part, Lord. The Emmanuel Acho part, girl. Here's the thing. I said, when Amanda is completely right about something, she is. Her evaluation of Emmanuel Acho, she's 100%, to me, and this is my opinion, you don't have to agree, she's 100% right about him. Okay? So, guys, I feel like it wasn't mini rant. Just wanted to put my thoughts on the mic. But we're going to do more unpacking. But thank you so much for listening. And I will be back.